Welcome to the Trigator Podcast, where budgets are balanced, debt gets destroyed, and alligator expenses get fed before they bite. I am your host, Nate Tanner. The Trigator Podcast is sponsored by Trigator. Go to Trigator.com and sign up for your free trial of the Trigator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Trigator, you can enjoy life more and worry about money less. Today we're going to talk about some more money problems that people have, and we're going to start out with something that can be a little bit sensitive. As many of you know, the number one cause for divorce in the country is issues about money, is arguments that happen about money. And so one of the big problems that can happen is that you're not on the same page as your spouse. Now, I'm not a marriage counselor. I'm nothing like that. But I do have some experience with my own marriage as far as being able to come together and work together on a financial level. And this is a really, really sensitive subject for many because their spouses or their significant others, they may have different ideas about money or they may have different goals. So it could be also that maybe you really want to manage your money better, but your spouse doesn't want to. I know of one couple that I've spoken with that the wife really, really wants to have a plan, have a budget, wants to put together things like we've talked about. But the husband likes the idea of saying, hey, if I want to go to the hardware store, I want to be able to buy what I want to buy. I don't want to feel restricted by anything. And he's just totally not on board with it. So what then? You know, what do we do? Or maybe you and your spouse simply have opposing views about how the money should be spent. You know, is your wife a saver and you're a spender? Or is your husband the one that likes to go and just blow money all over the place and you're the one that wants to really save up? Well, guess what? You are normal. As I mentioned, one of the big problems that happens in relationships is this issue of money. Now, some of the reasons that this is a problem is that money problems among married couples is that leading cause of divorce. And money isn't the most important thing. Your best friend that you're married to is. And that's something that you have to remember is that you're a partner together in this. You're not opposing views. You're not trying to create fights. You are partners together in this financial journey. You'll need to find a way to work out the differences and sort through the money concerns for the sake of your marriage. So what are some of the things that you can do to try to fix this? Well, again, there's no quick fix for this, but I do have a couple of recommendations that I can throw your way to maybe see if you can come together and work together. Because you can't do this alone. Your partner needs to be involved. And it's time to put down the boxing gloves and start working together. You know, this doesn't have to be a fight. And the first thing that we want to do is we want to have open lines of communication in a non-threatening and blaming way. When we start talking about money, what can happen is sometimes it'll be, well, you do this. Well, you do that. Well, da da da, I want it like this. I want, and you get into this back and forth of blame game or kind of the idea that this is how it's supposed to be. And there's not really that communication. It's more of a gripe session. And you want to have open lines of communication where you're able to talk openly without having to worry about upsetting the other or to get into any sort of an argument. You need to be able to come together and have those discussions. And that goes into having that open discussion where half of it is where you're giving your viewpoint and the other half is listening and understanding your significant other's point of view. You really need to understand each other and what your thoughts are about money and how you want to do things. And then you need to sit down together and work out a plan. And we've talked about budgeting before. We've talked about how to go through some of the steps and build that budget. You really need to do that together with your spouse. It is so imperative. And are you going to agree on everything? Not the first time, but you need to be able to have that give and take relationship. If one spouse really loves buying shoes, then you've got to give him some shoes, you know, and that's got to be part of the plan. And then you give and take a little bit and say, well, maybe some of my spending that I like to do is I like to go out on a date night once a week or whatever. And you do some give and take and some back and forth. And then you're going to be able to refine that over time. But beyond just sitting down and working on that initial budget and learning what the each other cares about most within that budget, you need to very, very first, even before that, is have a goal in mind. Because when both of you have the same goal in mind, that's when you really start coming together. If you have different financial goals and different financial ideals, then you're going to clash and you're going to break out those boxing gloves and start taking shots at each other. When you have a similar goal, then you're going to start to be able to work together. If the goal is to say, all right, I want to be able to go on a vacation next year, then you sit down and you say, okay, how are we going to be able to do that? When you have that goal, you can then come together and find solutions and say, okay, well, I really love buying shoes, but I'm willing to give up on some of the shoes that I buy so that I can have that vacation. Or I'm willing to not eat out as much so that I can make that vacation. So it could be a goal like a savings goal that brings you together. But really, it helps if it's a lot deeper than that. And the goal should be a very long-term goal of what you want to do, talking about even retirement, talking about where you want to be within the next 5 years in your financial life. You know, what kind of finances do you want to have? Where do you want to be? And really come together with really smart and strategic goals so that you can come together and figure out a plan on how to get there. Because if you both agree on the end goal, then the plan is going to come together. And lastly, part of this is also being forgiving and being willing to compromise, because you're not going to get everything that you want and your partner is not going to get everything that they want. You need to be able to compromise and forgive each other when you have little disagreements or arguments. So hopefully some of these tips will help you to come together with your significant other and meet that idea of a goal. Now, if you're single, this is not a problem that you necessarily have, but one of the big difficulties with being single is that you also don't have much accountability. And so when you are married or in a long-term relationship, there's a level of accountability that happens between you and your significant other. When you're single, there's not really that accountability. You can go and do whatever you want and you can set whatever goals you want. So what I would recommend to help you stay on track if you're single is have a very close, trusted friend that will help keep you on track. Share with them your financial goals. Share with them with the things that you want to do. And then have them be kind of your accountability partner to make sure that you're doing those things that you should be doing to reach those end goals. The next problem that I want to talk about is something that all of us have probably fallen guilty to at one point or another. And I want to start it out by asking a simple question. What day is Christmas? Is that a day that you usually forget? It's not likely. You usually remember that every year Christmas is on December 25th. It's going to be that way next year, the year following that, and in perpetuity that Christmas comes on December 25th. Now, the question is, if it's always on December 25th, why is it that we are using credit cards to pay for Christmas? Why is it that we're picking up extra shifts to pay for Christmas? Why is this such a thing when it always happens the same time? Well, what the problem is that we're not planning ahead, okay? And then if you look at it, how is it that there are so many people unprepared for Christmas each year? And it's not just Christmas. I get that not everyone celebrates Christmas, but what about things like your car registration? That's something you do every year. You have to pay for your car registration every year. What about for maintenance for your car, for like oil changes every 3 months? Do you do that and remember those all the time? Or what about birthdays or Valentine's Day or anniversaries? All of these different things that happen, and they're going to happen. There's not any change that is going to cause it to not happen. It's going to happen. It's going to be there. And you need to be prepared for it and have the money and the funds for it. So anything like this, when you have these things come up, it can really throw a wrench in your budget, because you're gonna base things on this idea of a monthly budget maybe and think, okay, well, I'm good. And then suddenly one of these annual expenses like Halloween comes in where you have to buy costumes for your kids. And then you go, oh crap, I forgot about that. How are we going to swing this? You know? And so it really is a problem, because if you don't think ahead and start planning for these less frequent expenses, then all of your best well-laid plans can go straight out the window. And balancing your budget becomes a balancing act, because you think you have everything figured out and then something jumps in. So how do you fix this? We've talked about this before, but we're going to touch on it again, because this is one of the most powerful things that I have found to help bring financial peace of mind, is the idea of these sinking funds. Now, sinking fund is a commercial real estate term where what you would do is, for example, let's say you purchased a building and you know that in 10 years it's going to need a new roof. So what you do is the rents that you collect from that building, you set a small portion of those rents aside every month for 10 years so that then you can pay and buy that roof. And it's the same idea here. What you do is you look at your paycheck and you say, okay, I need to have, let's say for Christmas, you want to spend $2,000. I'm just pulling a number out of the air. Your number may be different, maybe more, maybe less. We'll see, but we'll just pull a number of $2,000. And what you'll want to do is say, okay, I get paid 24 times during the year. So how much each paycheck do I need to save for Christmas? So we're going to take that $2,000 and then divide it by 24 paychecks. And you're going to say, okay, I need to set aside about $84 every paycheck so that I can have that sinking fund to pay for Christmas at the end of the year. And you take each of your little expenses that aren't normal and you figure that out. And you say, okay, I need to pay for oil changes every 3 months. How much do I need to save from each paycheck to do that? And in my house, we call this our money buckets, because it's kind of like a bucket brigade where you take small amounts of money from each of the paychecks and then you allocate it to be used on a less frequent expense. And we save up for Christmas this way. We save up for tires for our car, maintenance, for vacations, anything that we need that is not a regular expense. Then when that time comes, we have the money for it and it doesn't interfere with our regular budget, and our regular budget stays balanced and works the way that it's supposed to go. It is so nice to know that when you need the money, it's there. And just by putting that little bit of money away from each paycheck and saving it and setting it aside, it creates such financial peace and financial freedom that I can't even describe it. Last year, we had to purchase new tires for our car. And what was fantastic is when you're walking into the tire dealership and you find out that you need new tires because they're bald, and you're able to just say, okay, and you pay for it right then and there. You don't have to worry. You don't have to stress. The money's there. And it feels so good to have that peace of mind to know, no matter what comes along as far as those unexpected expenses, that you're going to be prepared and ready for it. Let's go ahead and answer a few questions. Our first question comes from Bill. He says, I contribute 6% to my 401k. My employer matches the first 1% and then they match half of the next 5%. Is this the best way for me to save for retirement? It's a great way to start. The great thing about employer matches is it's almost like free money, and you definitely want to max out that employer match as much as you can. Now, depending on your situation as far as how old you are, how close to retirement you are, that may not be enough at this point. If you're younger, that may be just fine if you continue to do that. But ultimately, you really want to get into a higher amount that you're saving for your retirement. So what you would want to do after you have maxed out your 401k match is start looking into IRAs and being able to max out onto that IRA level. And that's going to be what you're going to want to look at for investing, is getting into an IRA on top of what your 401k is. I wouldn't go 7% in your 401k if they're not going to match it. I would put that extra percent into an IRA and continue to build that up until the maximum of the IRA. Once you've hit your max in the IRA, and that's going to depend on your age, your marital status, some things like that, then you can go back to the 401k and increase that to save even more to get a nice retirement. So for now, I would say continue to do that. But if you have the ability to, and you're in the financial situation to start putting more in, then move some money into that IRA as well. But definitely keep it to that employer match. So great question, Bill. Our next question comes from Mary. She says, I recently came into some money. Should I pay off my student loan in full or use it for a down payment on a house? Now, that's a very interesting question. And because there's pros and cons to everything around this. Now, if you're looking to pay off student loans in full, it would lead me to believe that you have pretty hefty student loans if you're weighing down payment on a house versus student loans. So one thing that you want to think about is how much money is going to be opened up by paying off those student loans, because that's going to be huge injection of cash into your life. And so I lean on paying off the student loans because of that, because that's going to give you a lot of money that's going to be freed up that you'll be able to then use to either continue to save for more down payment on a house or other things like that to help you get completely debt free. So the cons about it, though, is that, of course, if you're renting, you know, renting is not the most fun thing, and you're kind of just throwing money away when you're renting. You're not building any equity or building anything in terms of wealth for a home. So that's the really downside of it. However, if you're in a home already, then definitely pay off the student loans. Stay in that home that you're in, pay off the student loans, and then work towards saving up for another down payment. One thing that you'll find is that when you pay off those student loans, the weight that it lifts off your shoulders is going to be, you can truly feel it. It is a wonderful feeling when those are completely gone. And whereas if you do it when you're buying a house, it's fun to buy a house and fun to have that feeling. But rather than eliminating debt, you're incurring more debt because you'll then have a mortgage that you'll be paying on top of the payment for the student loan. So it's a really good question. You got to really weigh your personal financial situation, what your living situation is right now. But my initial thought is to pay off that student loan and get that weight off of your shoulders. And our last question comes from Robert. He says, when you get a cash advance on a credit card, is it best to pay it back as soon as possible, or can it be treated as just another credit card expense? The first thing, Robert, is you shouldn't be using a credit card. we've talked a lot about credit cards on this podcast, and if you're trying to get ahead using a credit card, then you're actually falling behind. Now, that being said, let's get into the question. A cash advance usually has a higher interest rate on it than just using your credit card. So if you do take a cash advance, you're probably looking at a significantly higher rate of interest on that. And if you look at your credit card statement, you actually see that it has a separate line item on it for cash advance interest. And you'll see that it is a lot higher. So definitely get that paid off as fast as you possibly can if you've already taken a cash advance. Hopefully you aren't taking cash advances on your credit card and you're doing things smart by paying cash for things and have a good financial plan. But if you've made some mistakes in the past, like most of us have, and you do have a cash advance balance, put that as one of the top items on your debt snowball, because you're going to be paying a ton of interest on those cash advances. You could treat it like just another credit card expense, but it's going to charge you a lot more in interest. So get that paid off, get it off your back, and cut up that credit card, Robert. All right, if you do have a question you'd like to send our way, you can send it via email to podcast@tregator.com. You can also visit our website, tregator.com/podcast, and submit your question there. Or you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/tregator, and post your question there. We would love to hear from you and be part of a conversation with you. We love answering questions. We love hearing from you. I do want to again mention that our sponsor is Tregator, and this podcast is sponsored by Tregator. Go to tregator.com to sign up for your free trial of the Tregator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Tregator, you can enjoy life more, worry about money less. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode of this podcast, and we'll see you next time.